This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Parshas Pekudei. Torah teaches us that Moshe Rabbeinu gives a chdin v'cheshbon, a detailed account of everything that came into the Mishkan and where it went. To the last cent, so to speak, to the last penny. A cheshbon meduktik. Everything exactly in account to where everything went. Why is it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to give din v'cheshbon? Why was it important? Why did he do it? What was the underlying reason for giving us such a detailed account of everything? Pennies. Kesef, the choshes, pennies. He gives exactly how much and where it went. So if you look at the Midrashim, especially the Medrash Tanchuma, the Midrashim tell us that there was Laz. They were talking against Moshe Rabbeinu, chatter. Moshe Rabbeinu would say Torah, he would say a shir, and behind his back, the Litzani Adar were shishking. You know, the money? Moshe Rabbeinu's rich. How do you get rich? The Mishkan, he took the money from the Mishkan. Even vulgar things, they were saying tremendous vulgar. If you look at the Medrash Tanchuma, they said Moshe Rabbeinu has a heavy neck. How did his neck get so heavy? Whoo! Must be, he has a lot of money to eat to for food. It's mamish pushing a harp. It's low class talk and allegations and chatter. So in order to be miyashiv, to answer up those that were talking, he shows them where all the money went. And this is a lesson. That if people are choshed, especially you're a gadol hador, especially you're a manig hador, you can really come and say, get away from here. I'm not going to open up the books. I'm not going to show you. What's it, your business? Who are you? What do you think? Ve'yisen nekiyem Hashem Yisrael. It was important for Moshe Rabbeinu to be clean and come clean. This is where all the money, and this is where it went. Din v'cheshbon. So the Medrash seems to tell us that it was a result. That it was the result of Lashon Hara and Laz, Hoytzah Shemra. So in order to repute the ill talk that they were talking, he made a din v'cheshbon. There's another Medrash which says the exact opposite. The Medrash quotes the pasuk in the Haftarah. Parshas Shkalim is the Haftarah for Parshas Pekudei, because we read Shkalim together with Pekudei. So if you look at the Haftarah of Shkalim, the second to last pasuk, it says that they were bringing Shkalim money to the Bedek Habayis for the purpose of upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. And they would give it to the Ois HaMalacha, those that did the work. And they didn't question. It says clearly in the pasuk, they didn't question where the money went. Ki be'emunei ma'isim. There was trust. So therefore, there was no issues. Where is my money? No questions. Like I say in English, no questions asked. Here, take the money. Second to last pasuk in the Haftarah. In Pshkalim. The Medrash Rabbah says that this pasuk is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Even though it's talking about Bedek Habayis in the Beis HaMikdash, Ki be'emunei moisim, and because of that they have no questions, they're actually referring to Moshe Rabbeinu for when Moshe collected for the Mishkan also. There was no questions asked. Why? Because ish emunais. Moshe was an honest person and people knew that. So there's a contradiction here. One medrash seems to say that Litzanei Hadar, the pranksters, the leitzim, the rabble rousers, they were questioning Moshe Rabbeinu. They were ridiculing and being mitzi laz, and here the medrash seems to say that nobody asked questions. They trusted. They brought the money. They gave it to Moshe. Moshe, we trust you. So it's chayyut sestira midrashim. So maybe we have to say that it's two different midrashim. We could come and say maybe that the pasuk and the medrash that says there was no questions is referring to the normal people. One medrash talks about litzani adar. Litzani adar make fun of everything. Litzani adar make trouble always. They could take the most honest person, and soon we're going to learn from the Ramban that actually Moshe never even touched the money of the Mishkan. The Ramban in Perik Chaf Ches Pasik Hey, as well as in Perik Lamed Gimel, Perik Lamed Vav Pasik Gimel, the Ramban in both places says clearly that the Malacha, the parts that were brought, the Zav, the Nechet, Kesem, the Choshes, wasn't even given to Moshe. It was brought in front of Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu told him afterwards to bring it straight to Bezalel and those that were going to do the work with it. Which means it actually never went through the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. So how could you be Choshed him? Ramban says clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu did not touch, and touch in the sense of actually having his hands on it. He didn't touch the stuff that came in, the Zav, the Kesef, and the Choshes. So how can he even be Choshed? It's pretty clear that Moshe didn't touch it or take it. There's a Gra in Shir HaShirim which seems to imply a little differently. The Gra in Shir HaShirim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, says that the Yontav of Sukkos, Tez Vav Tishrei, is because that day was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Zav, the Kesef, all the stuff that came in, he gave that to Bezalel that day, so it turned into later a Yom Tov of Sukkos. Sukkos is the day that Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the day that it begins. The day that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to Bezalel the things that were collected for the Mishkan, which is mashma that Moshe Rabbeinu himself was the one who gave it over to Bezalel. But the Ramban says not like that. The Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't give it over. The people themselves were told, here, you brought this, take it and give it to Bezalel. So actually there's no room to be choshed Moshe Rabbeinu anyway. It's pretty out clear in the open that Moshe didn't touch it. It went straight from their hands of the givers to the hands of Bezalel, and yet Litzani Adar find a way how to make their jokes. They have to make a living, Litzani Adar. How else are they going to make their prime time shows? They have to make Litzanis, right? So Lamaisa, Rabbosai. We could come and say that the Medrash that says that they were mighty laws and they spoke, that was Litzani Adar. The Pasik in Tanakh and the Medrash that quotes this Pasik is actually saying the regular people who brought, those that brought, they didn't have a problem with where Moshe and what Moshe and then how Moshe the money. They didn't have a problem with it. Usually the Litzani Adar are the ones that didn't give. Usually that's the way it works. The Litzani Adar are the ones that didn't give the money. They are the ones who have the comments. But could be Oysa, the ones that the Pasuk is saying, those that brought, when they brought, they trusted. And could be it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction between this medrash that says that there was laz, chatter, jokes, and that's why Moshe came and gave a detailed account, to the medrash that says that Moshe was not nechshad. There was full trust in Moshe Rabbeinu. One is referring to the Litzani Adar, that by them everything is not trustworthy. And the pasuk is talking about normal people. But the pasuk doesn't have to count what the chatter room, you know, all the litzanas, all the internet chatter, lashon haras, that, you know, they don't have to pay attention to that. And therefore they say that the people who brought didn't have a problem. But the question is, if that's so, that there was no lashon hara, and it wasn't to answer those that spoke against Moshe, so why did he give it to the cheshbon? Why does he give a detailed account? If there was fear that they're not going to trust, then you have to come and show. But if anyway they're trusting him, unless maybe it's not for sure, maybe he was afraid maybe they won't trust him. In other words, it wasn't a result of that he heard something. But even before he, you don't have to hear it, that the problem could be avoided by just showing a divrei cheshbon like this, even if someone will want to come and make trouble and talk. Maybe. Maybe it doesn't have to be a result of something that happened already. An uprisal and a litzanis and a lashon hara that it's already here. But to avoid that there shouldn't be a lashon hara, that someone shouldn't want to come to talk, so you put it out in advance. A record, cheshbon, it's clean. Maybe. There's a gevaldi gevart for Rabbi Yeruchim. Rabbi Yeruchim says that the din v'cheshbon is not so much for those that gave and those that are watching Moshe, but it's actually for Moshe himself. When a person deals with somebody else's money, the person has to be so straight, he has to be so clean, that for himself, he gives a din v'cheshbon. Doesn't have to be mitzad those, doesn't have to be because others are watching, and that they shouldn't talk. You have to have such honesty, that when you touch somebody else's money, it's got to be clean. Got to be straight. So Moshe is not doing it for those, the litzanim, or those that would be choshe b'ksheirim. He's doing it for himself. So learns Rabbi Yeruchim. There's an interesting Bach which seems to support this. The Bach says in Yerideya that a gizbar, a person who takes care of Moistaka, even if he's Neman, and people love him and respect him and trust him, still he should open the books. Still he should show clearly where all the money went because of honesty. An honest person brings it, opens up everything. Nothing is hidden. Here it is. And this L'chayra is the Pshat of Rabbi Yeruchim L'chayra. That we're not worried that there's a kilkul, that people are going to be choshed. It's not about people accusing you. Because even if they're not going to accuse you, but there's a certain honesty of being honest and open when you deal with somebody else's money. So the Ve'isim Nekiyim Hashem Am Yisrael doesn't mean chshad, but Ve'isim Nekiyim means to be clean. A person has to be a clean person. This is Mitzad Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm going to tell you a third pshat, Rabbi Yisrael. You know, when a person gives a din v'cheshbon on every penny, then every penny's accounted for. So even if A, no one is going to complain, and even if B, it's not so much Moshe Rabbeinu who's touching other people's money, but you want that the Mishkan should be an honest piece of work, so to speak. The Mishkan had to be built on emes. The Mishkan had to be built on Nikius, kosher. And since it had to be kosher, therefore every penny had to be accounted for. So, first pshat we said was he did the din v'cheshba mitzat klal Yisrael, that they shouldn't talk and people shouldn't be choshed him. The second pshat is mitzat himself. The third pshat we're saying is it's mitzat the Mishkan. The Mishkan had to be makay frashras hashchina. Hashras hashchina requires that the place that your mashu the shchina should be naki. The same way you understand that a king is not going to come to a dirty place. Dirty can have many different connotations. It could be naki, dirty, not naki, dirty physically. There's dirt on the floor, and then it could be spiritually not naki. Niki kapayim, money, clean money. No geneva. No geneva means makam naki. Roi fashras hashchina. The Malbim Taka learns like this. The Malbim says what's called Mishkan Ha'edus. Eilep kude ha-mishkan. Mishkan Ha'edus. Says the Malbim Edus. Testimony that it was Mishkan. It was a makam that was roi for shchina. That there was no geneva whatsoever in it. That's why it's called Mishkan Ha'edus in this parsha. Eilep kude ha-mishkan. These are the account numbers of the Mishkan, Mishkan Ha'edus, that the Mishkan itself was testimony that it was clean from Geneva. Because if there was any hanky-panky in the money, so to speak, if there was any dishonesty, even to the last cent, there couldn't be what? Mishkan, that the Rebbein Shalom would be Masher Hishchina. Those are three pshatim, Rabbi Yisai. I'm going to tell you now a fourth pshat. Why Moshe Rabbeinu gives a din v'cheshbon. Pshat one, we said, chshad. That the people shouldn't come and say, ah. Pshat two, for Moshe. That Moshe had to be clean and honest. Up front. Pshat three, that the Mishkan needed. Special, it's a din here in the Mishkan. Needed to be a makam royal ashras hashchina, which means beli evel, without any dishonest, anything which is not clean 100%. The fourth pshat, Rabbi Yisai, I tell you from a rekeach. You know, if you notice in the parsha, we give a detailed chesbon for the kesef and the nechayshis. The zav, it doesn't say, doesn't tell me where the zav went. I'm saying, and all the Mefarshim ask us for a question. Why do we get a detailed cheshbon on the kesef, the nechayshis, but not the zav? So some want to say, because some of the zav went into the aron was einam and amida, so they couldn't track it. Not everything was able to be tracked by the zav. The aron had zav. The Aron had no measurements. Something, they didn't work out the measurements. The gold. So therefore, it was not, they couldn't track it. Anachanami. Many, many learn like this in the Mefarshim. There's a pshat from the Abarbanel that says a little differently. Abarbanel says, who gives Zav a kesef? I'm sorry, who brings a kesef in Chayish? It's the poor person. Who brings Zav? The rich person. Says Abarbanel, it's usually the poor person that doesn't have the money. He wants to know where his money went. He wants to make sure his money didn't go to waste. The rich guy, you know what he says, keep the receipt. Yeah, he doesn't want the headache. He gives you the money and he tells you, go do what you want with the money. He doesn't need a detailed account where everything went. So the Mela, there was a detailed account for the Kesef and the Chayshis, and there was no account for the Zav. So explains that Barbanel. The Rekeach is somewhat like that Barbanel, but with a little different twist, a little different Nekuda. The Rekeach says, the Kesef and the Chayshis of the Ani, The Rabbi Yishlam has chavivas for it. Rabbi Yishlam has a lot of love for that. Because he gives what he has, and it's not easy for him to give. The Zav was given by the rich person. So normally, you give more chshivus. You give more respect to bigger donation. The Zav. Says Rabbi Yishlam, not so. The Zav doesn't mean that much to me. The Kesef and the Chayshis, that means a lot to me. And therefore, I'm going to show you how important your Kesef and the Chayshis is, that I'm going to show you that every penny counts. And every penny went here, there, there, because it's important. The Zav, I don't have to show that to you. And then he says a little bit, added to the pshat, and he says, besides, if we come and we say Zav, and we give a detailed account of the Zav, those that gave Kesef and the Chayshim and not Zav, they'll be embarrassed. Oh, this gold, that gold. So we keep the gold under the table. We don't talk about the gold. In order not to embarrass those that couldn't give gold. So I want to explain this Rekech. You hear what the Rekech is saying? Rekech is saying that the reason why we gave a detailed cheshbon of the Kesef and the Chayshis and where it went, to show chavivus, to show how dear that is to the Rabbeinu Shloilom. So I want to explain you what that means with a mashal, with a good example. You know, when somebody gives a big donation to a school, to a yeshiva, to a college, besides a plaque, they take you and they give you a tour around the college. And they show you, you see, take a look at that room and take a look at the dining hall and take a look at the chairs here and take a look at the library. And this is your money where it went to. Imagine a person gives $5 to a school, to a yeshiva, knocks on the door of the secretary. Could you please show me where exactly my $5 went to? Imagine a guy goes, doesn't even give $5. Imagine a person gives 10 cents for stuff. You collect money, he gives you 10 cents. Then he turns around and he says, could you show me exactly what the 10 cents went for? The guy says, well, I should show you the tissue paper on the floor. I mean, well, what should I show you? Well, what do you want me to show you where your money went? What'd you give already? You gave nothing. Says the Rekeach, they wanted to show that the person who gave Kesef and Achayshis, it went here, it went there, it went here, it went there. Because the truth is, I have a question. If the whole idea is to give a Divin Cheshbon, to account for all the money, why does the Torah have to write where all it went? Just write that Moshe Rabbeinu gave a Divin Cheshbon. Tell us in the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu went and he told Klal Yisrael where all the money. Why do we have to read it as a parsha in the Torah? What's it they get to us today to read that the Zav went here and the Nechoshes went here and the Kesef went here? And what the question is, should you give an account for all the money? Yes, you should write like this. Vayas Moshe Erech, Moshe made an evaluation and he showed them where all the money went. Shame. That is the Pasuk L'doiris in the Torah. Make us read where all the money went. And the Terence is this right, Keach, because it's not so much to count it, to show that it was accounted for, but to show you how important it is. Your penny went here. Your penny went to the Shulchan. Your penny went, you see, here, take a, what do you call that, a magnifying glass. And they, oh, I think I see my penny in the Mikdash. It's right here. Could you see that little scratch? That's it. That's your penny that you gave to the Mikdash. And that's all to show chavivus. To show how important a person gives Zav. Oh, that's a big check. You know, that deserves recognition. And that deserves that you should know where your money went. When a guy gives a few pennies, they're not going to tell you, you know, yeah, the way your money went. You should be lucky we took it, right? We should be lucky we even talked to you, you know? Now you should still come and ask me where the money, and I should show you where the money and pay it and spend time with you. Who spends time with a guy like that? Now it says, Lahara is Chavivus. Rekech is saying the point was to show how dear even the small donations were. And the Torah goes out of its way to teach me, I'm sorry, to show me Ledoiris for the generations to read that the pennies went to the Choshen, to the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. It went here, there. It's important. And this is Laharois to show Chavivus. Why is it so Chaviv, Taka? One gets the feeling from the Rekeach that the Rebbein Shalom likes the Kesef and the Choshes even more than the Zav. Imagine a guy gives up. Hey, we don't pay attention to you. We're not going to give you a detailed account. Ooh, this guy gave a penny. Imagine you have the board on the board of directors. Yeah? The big guns. So you don't have Sari Elef and Sari Hameya, but you have Sari Haprutais. All the people who gave 1 cent, you have a big plaque for him. Where are the people that gave the millions? Ash. Under the table. You almost get the impression that the penny is worth more than the million. And the answer, Abai says as follows. You know, value could be nerach different ways. There could be a monetary value, money, and then there could be value which isn't monetary. There could be value based on something completely different. For example, a person could have something which isn't worth much. But what does he say? There's sentiment. Sentiment value. You see? Value could have different systems of currency. There could be a monetary value, and then there could be a sentiment value.
Like an heirloom?
To be sentiment. Sentimentally, this is worth a lot of money. The pruta, the kesef and the choshes in the Beis HaMikdash had sentimental value, maybe more than the zav. The donation of kesef and the choshes might have been a greater donation if you change the value system, sentimental value. Why? Because those that don't have and give, it represents more mesiras nefesh, more heart, more ratzon, more will to give. So true, it's a penny monetarily, but it might be a diamond sentimentally, because it represents nedivus halev, it represents what the heart has ratzon to give. And I'll explain you what this is all about. You know, we just read Parsha Shkolim. What is Shkolim? Shkolim is not even a shekel. It's a machtzis ha-shekel. You don't even give a full shekel. Chazal tell us, Niskasha Misha. Misha had a very hard time to understand the machtzis ha-shekel. And the Mefarshim asked, what's so hard to understand? Misha was such a big tzaddik that he didn't know what money was, maybe, you know. Sometimes you come and you talk about a value of a dollar, a big tzaddik, you won't know what it is. I'll tell you a nice maisa. Isaiah told me that the Satmar Rebbe Zecheinu Levracha was an ish kaddish. The Friedrich is Rabbi Yoilish, was an ish, he was a very holy person, a very big tzaddik. Yet he was very worldly when it came to chesed and tzedakah, money. He was very involved with the money to give and to build and to give for the yeshivas and for people who needed tzedakah. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, so he came by boat. He didn't fly. He was afraid to fly. He came by boat. Rebbes have a lot of luggage with them, you know. So it was past the amount where he was allowed to bring. So he had to pay taxes. So when he came to the port, there was an Israeli soldier, a Chilaini, who was taking care of the immigration over there. And he said that he has to pay $100 in those days, you tell me, $100 meches, taxes for overload of luggage. He knew that the Satmar Rebbe was anti-Zionist, so he wanted to give a dig at the Satmar Rebbe. So he tells the Gabbe, Ashkenazi, does your Admor know what $100 is? You know, trying to make a joke. Maybe he's such a holy Jew that, you know, he don't know what $100 is because he has to pay $100. $100 of American dollars. Satmar Rebbe heard this and he was sharp. Everybody knows he was extremely razor sharp. He didn't let anything pass. So he turns around to Ashkenazi and he says, Zugim. He didn't want to look at the guy in the face even, you know. Zugim, tell him that less than 1,000 never went past my hand. I never touched less than $1,000. Tell me about money. I know better than you what they. But the money I've touched in my life, you'll never touch. Don't ridicule me about $100. Zugim, tell him. Vince Givy told us in the Kaimus Duch might have less than 1,000 never passed my hand. Which means $100. $100 is peanuts money for me, if I know what $100 is. Point being, Moshe Rabbeinu was rich. Moshe Rabbeinu was a rich person. The Shteta Klar, he was a gvir, awesome, adir. Moshe Rabbeinu was extremely rich. So what is it that he doesn't know about a matzah shekel? What doesn't he know? So we've spoken many times in the past. It doesn't say chatzi shekel, it says machzis shekel. He didn't know what kind of a coin is a machzis. For example, could you imagine a person, you have my kids do that sometimes also. They say they want a half a dollar, right? So half a dollar can mean 50 cents. Or half a dollar means you ripped a dollar in half, you give them half a dollar, right? So if you rip a half a dollar, do you have anything? No, you lost a dollar, it's roots. So if you have chatzi, so you can have half the dollar. But you can't have machzis, you can't have a half of the dollar. How could you have machzis when you could take a shekel and cut it in half? So he didn't know what it was. Bishlai me come and tell me an amount, okay. But you can't tell me machzit. Problem is that the Chazal doesn't answer anything, because Chazal say that the Rabbi Yisrael went and showed him at Beya Shalesh, a coin of fire. A coin of fire? So how does that help you with your question? The question was, what is Machza Shekel? So what's the answer? Coin of fire? What? How does it help you, coin of fire? See, by the menorah, it says Moshe Rabbeinu also didn't know how to make the menorah. So the Rabbi Shem Shalom, menorah shalesh. You know what that pshat in the Gemara is? Very simple. Because Itaka was made by Eish. He threw the thing into the fire, and it came out by itself. But the Matzah Shekel, Hashem didn't make the Matzah Shekel. Nowhere does it say in Chazal, I'm not mistaken, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think anywhere it says in Chazal that they took the money, they threw it into the fire, and it turned into a Matzah Shekel. So what is it, Matbe Shalesh? What is this fire around the coin? What does it mean? So everybody knows, there's a verse from the Kutzker Rebbe, fire is the slavos of how you give it. It's how much zeal and how much fire you put into the giving. Some people, when you gas them for tzedakah, they give it to you with cold, ice cube faces, right? The hand freezes in the pocket. He puts his hand in the pocket to give you the money. He can't get the hand out. You know what happened? It froze. He got stuck to the pocket of icicles. Then you have another person that gives with all his heart. His lav was his eish, is represented with fire. That's Hasidus, a concept in Mabeya Shalesh, famous. I would have said a little differently. You know, I'll tell you what was bothering Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu can't understand how can I collect a half a cent from somebody. You know what a Masa Shekel is? It's small amounts of money. Imagine I get up and I make an appeal. Okay, and who's giving one penny? But penny, you know what? I would rather you have half a penny. Let's go get a half a penny. But why would you need that for? I mean, why is that the donation to the Mishkan? I never saw a box. You know, you ever see those cards that they give out that you can fill out a box how much you want to donate? $18. Even today already, you can't find $18. They start right away with $36, $54, $72, $100, $200.
$200.
Did you see ever that it should say a penny, half a penny? I mean, why would we make a donation payment plan of half a penny?
The stamp is already 45 cents.
Well, the stamp is 45 cents. Well, what does it mean, Matzah Shekel? Yeah, where do you cash it? What's a Matzah Shekel? Moshe Rabbeinu can't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu can't understand. What do we need a Matzah Shekel? What is it? And the answer is, they show Matbeh Shalesh. You know what Matbeh Shalesh is? I said this 3 weeks ago. Someone came to ask me the question. I gave this pshat. And Erev Shabbos, I saw there's a Pirush Zeis Ra'anon from the Magen Avram on the Yalkut Shemini. The famous Magen Avram of Shulchan Aruch has a Pirush on Yalkut Shemini. And there it says, what is the concept? What is the idea? What is the understanding of Eish to a Matbeya? And the answer is, you know, when you want to burn up something, how much fire do you need? Do I have to bring it's a big building, so I have to bring tons of fire. No, I don't have to bring tons of fire. Just need a match. Small little thing.
One match.
It ignites. Yeah. One match. One spark. Heruloi matbeya shel esh. They show that the matbeya represents like fire. You don't need a lot. All you need is a spark that you should want. A little rotzen, that's all. A little goodwill, a little heart. And that goes a long way. A long way to make fire, to make eish, to make warm, to create, to do, and to build. Matbeya shel eish. You're right, it's a matzah shekel. You're right, it's small. Seemingly small. But just like fire, there's no such thing as small. A spark could turn up, an entire city could go up in flames with a spark. One Matbeya Shalesh. Matbeya Shalesh. Matbeya Shalesh. You hear Abba Yisai? What are we learning from here? That the Kesef of the Mishkan had a different value system. The Kesef in the Mishkan was not measured by monetary, because then it's very small what you're donating, but rather it's measured by what? By how much rotzoin, how much cheshek, how much feelings, how much nedivas halev. And depending according to that, like fire, it could make tremendous, tremendous outcome from a spark. This Rabbi Saib I see in the Rekeach. The Rekeach is saying that the Kesef and the Choshes becomes a Choshev and a Sina. To the point, that the ones who gave Kesef and the Choshes deserve to see where every penny went. Because every penny counts, just like every spark could make a tremendous fire. This is
by the
gold. Not a by the gold, by the gold. The gold could build a lot. The idea was to see by the kesef and the choishes, where every penny counts, because every penny could do tremendous amounts, could do tremendous amount of building and doing. It's about rotzi. It's all about how much you want. You know, I saw a beautiful question and answer, a yesod, from one of the great gedolim that lived 10, 15 years ago, passed away just recently. And he was from the great giants, the Poskim of Yerushalayim, Dayan Fisher, Rabbi Yisrael Yankee Fisher. He was the head of the Eid Achredis, one of the Rabbonim of the Eid Achredis, the Ravid, the Gaivid, one of them. And he has a sefer called Eben Yisrael. And he asks an interesting question. You know, the Pasuk talks in the Haftorah how in the beginning there was no money to upkeep of the Mishkan, of the Mikdash. They weren't giving. They weren't mechazik bedik habayis. They weren't giving. That's the Haftorah of Shkolim. They weren't giving. So they decided that they're going to make an appeal and discuss and teach and learn and push. And from here on in, they started giving money to bedik habayis. So he asked an interesting question. Why did the Beis HaMikdash need so much bedik habayis? I mean, what broke over there already? I mean, what he says, take the Koisel. The Koisel's been around for years. And recently there was a story that there was a crack in one of the walls. And they found that why was it cracked? Because the Arabs were with water, with pipes from the other side. So it was going into the cracks and it was expanding the wall. But technically, it stays. It's made from stone. Something from stone doesn't get root. So why was there a necessary bedik habayis on such a constant basis? They should have had bedik habayis once every 100 years. I mean, it's not pipes and modern day building that you have to have every other day a guy to come in and fix. It's old fashioned. They're taking Europe, the houses, the buildings, they're made from marble, and then they stay for years and years. Why was there such a constant necessity for bedik habayis? The Koisel doesn't need it. Why the Beis HaMikdash? Do we find constant repairing? So he says, a Meiridike Chiddush, Meiridike insight. He says, it's possible it was done on purpose from the Rabbeinu Shlom. What is the reason to give? Because you have to be menadiv balev. You have to show that you want. So the Rabbeinu Shalom wanted that you should show constantly that you want it. It was necessary to constantly upkeep because we were testing Keseder. We were testing on a constant basis. Do you really care about the Mikdash? A beautiful insight. Beautiful, beautiful. When I saw it, I saw this is the mind of a gadol, of a Talmud Chacham. You know, you see his understanding of life and situation. We think something breaks. There's a reason why things break. And in the Beis HaMikdash, the reason was, do you care enough to fix it? You know, when it's not your building, and you're not the one that lives there, and you have very little sentimental value for it, so it breaks, and you say, you know what, let another few things break, and then I'll fix it, right? That's why you're lax in bedik habayis. But if you care, lefayer beis Hashem, it means so much to you, l'ashras hashchina that's there, then you constantly make sure to keep it up. The upkeep should be constant. You know, how many times we build a beis hamedrash, and in the beginning everybody's excited, and everybody donates in the beginning, and then the upkeep becomes difficult to the point that you can't even get toilet paper, you know? It becomes a whole story how to get, you know, hey, some few dollars for a few sidurim. Why? Because the beginning you're excited. As time goes on, you're not that excited anymore. So to test that you constantly had rotzim for binyan hamishkan, the Rebbeinu Shlom made that you need constant upkeep and constant fixing. And that's why it's a story in Tanakh. Are you giving for bedik habayis? Are you not giving for bedik habayis? And after that, they were nisoyrer, that they were encouraged to give. They started to give for better kabayis. The point is, Mishkan stands for Ratzon. Mishkan is all about how much do you care. It might be a physical building, but the physical in the Mishkan is all measured by how much you want the Mishkan, and you care about the Mishkan, and you care about the Ashras HaShchina and the Eibishter that's in the Mishkan. That's what it means. Toichoi Ratzul Fahava. Afudosoi Merkovoi. It says that the binyan that Shlomo Melech made was unbelievable physically, externally. But really, what was it? Taichai. What was the inner part of the Mishkan? Ratzul Fahavu Mibinois Yerushalayim. It was based about the love. So there was a physical, but the physical was measured according to how much there was love and Ratzon to be with the Rabbi Shalom, and that the Rabbi Shalom should be with us. Taichai. Merkavei Argamon, Merkav, it says over there, it was tremendous. Afidosai, right? The walls and the big, big building, huh? I was big gold. Shashirim, gold, external gold. It's not the gold. What is it? It's the Taichai Rots of Ahava that's in the gold. It was measured according to the sentiment of what it stands for. Taichai. What was the inside of it? It wasn't gold. Gold is external. The inside, the internal of it, was Ratzu V'Hava Mibinoi Siyai. That's what it was. This, Rabbeisai, I believe answers a very good question. You know, it says, Eile Pekudi HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus. So it says twice, Mishkan HaEdus. So Rashi says, why does it say it twice? Because actually, the Beis HaMikdash, which is interchangeable with the word Mishkan, Mishkan is Mikdash, Mikdash is Mishkan, was going to be taken away twice. Like a mashkin, like collateral, that's taken away for a choif. So just like a mashkin is taken away, so too the Mishkan is HaMishkan twice taken away from us. Do you think that it's important for us to know on the day that we put up the Mishkan that the Mishkan is going to be taken away? Is that a good message to tell people? Hey, Lepikudi HaMishkan, come, let's put it away. Hey, you know, everybody's dancing for the Chanukah Sabbath. Da 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 da. The Mishkan will be taken away, and not only one time, but even a second time. Look. Why? Imagine a person gets up at the inauguration of a big yeshiva and say, "You know, this is not going to last long." You know, tell you gevaldige bashel. I saw in a sefer called Moitzi Shalom Rav. He brings from Elif L'Chama Magen. It's one of the earlier svarim. A beautiful example. He says, "Mashal Amad David Daima." The Rav under the chuppah is reading the ksuba. And he likes the handwriting of the cipher. Beautiful. Likes it. So he turns to the chas and he says, keep his number at hand, because when you're going to need a get, you could use him. Tell me, you think the rub's going to last long? Which rub in his right mind stands under the chuppah and tells the kala and chas,
2 years.
I give it a week. I give it a month, a year, you know. And when you come back to me for the get, so you know what, here's my telephone number. Call me on this number. What are you talking about? What are you saying? Why would you tell me while you're putting up the Mishkan? Why would you tell me that the Mishkan's going to be taken away? What are you doing? I'm like saying, you know what I think the true teretz is? We didn't read the Rashi properly. Does the Rashi say the Mishkan will be taken away from us? That's not what it says. It says the Mishkan will be a mashkin, which means it never will be taken away from us. The point of a mashkin means that it's always there for you to get it back. Mashkin is, I hold something that you have to earn. If you pay the loan, then I won't take it away from you. And if you don't pay the loan, I hold it till you pay the loan. It's always yours, depending if you want it. That's Eilep Kudei HaMishkan. Eilep Kudei HaMishkan. Mashkin. Mashkin. You know, if you don't care about the mashkin, it's not worth anything. So you know what you do? Say, keep the mashkin and I won't pay you what I need it for. Tell me, would you take a mashkin, a cup of coffee? No, why? Because you tell the guy, keep the coffee. And who needs the headache? I won't pay the loan, right? It's got to be something that you should want to buy back. It's got to be something that's important to you. The Mishkan is Mashkan. It's something that it's in our hands to work hard. Sometimes you have to pay up your loan. It's not easy to pay up a loan on time. And if I can't pay up on time and they take it away, I have to work extra hard to get the money to pay up the extra loan. But it's always there, Mashkan, for you to have, depending on how much you want it. This is Eila Mishkan Mishkan Ages. With this, Rabbi, I think we can answer a beautiful, beautiful, perplexing medrash. Perplexing, Mamish Pili Ploim, Peladik. You know, the extra money, right? What happened? It says in the pasuk it was Dai V'Hoyser. The money that they brought was Dai V'Hoyser. So what does Dai V'Hoyser mean? Dai means enough and Hoyser means extra. So make up your mind. Was it Dai or was it Hoyser? Dai means enough. So it's not Dai because it was Hoyser. Can't be Dai and Hoyser. No. Dai means it was Dai and Hoyser. So Dai isn't Hoyser. Hoyser is not Dai. The Rechaim HaKadosh asks us for a question. Dai does not mean Hoyser and Hoyser does not mean Dai. Good question. Now today we use an expression, Dai V'Hoyser. We use it. Why? Because the Torah uses it. But if you ever sit and think a minute, it doesn't make sense. Either it's Dai or it's Hoyser. I'm going to answer you this question. Okay. What happened with that extra money? So the Ramban says that that extra money was so little that there was no point to tell me what they did with it. Lamed Vav Gimel. Ramban says, what happened to the extra money? He says, it probably wasn't that much. And if it wasn't that much, so they put it into Bedek Habayis, Karbonis, and there's no point of telling me because it's self-understood where it went. The answer went nowhere because they didn't build anything with it. This Ramban is actually ignoring a Medrash. You know, maybe we'll say it a little bit more slighter. It's not together with this following Medrash. The Medrash says that with the extra money, Moshe didn't know what to do with it. It says clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu asks Hashem, Rabbeinu Shloilam, there's extra money, what do I do with it? Says the Medrash, the Rabbeinu Shloilam tells him, go build a Mishkan La'edus. Go build a Mishkan La'edus. You just built a Mishkan La'edus and you have extra money. What does it mean? What does it mean? Go build a Mishkan Peladik. What do the words mean? So many Mefarshim start to say, let's see other Midrashim which are very much like this Medrash. Maybe they have different words and we can understand what it means. So we find like a Medrash Tanchuma that says, go build a Mishkan L'Dibrois. To the Aseres HaDibrois. Which is the Aaron. Again, you have an Aaron. What happened here? What does it mean? So there's a very interesting Netziv. The Netziv says, you know what it means? Actually, there was two Aroinus. There was Aron Shasa Betzal and Aron Shasa Moshe. So Aron Shasa Betzal had gold in it. Aron Shasa Moshe was wood. It was just a wooden box. When they had extra money, they went back to the Aron that Moshe made from wood, and they put the gold in there. That's Pshat, make it a Mishkan Eidus, a Mishkan L'Dibrois for the original Aaron. Says that it's even, it's a lesson that Torah begins with eights. Poor. There's no gold. Tchilasa is Oini. And seifel is kaima mi aisher. Eventually, it says that if you keep the Torah when you're poor, you'll rich. So add later the gold. When they had extra gold, they added it later to the Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Chiddush, I mean, you're talking about something which is eye-opening. You ask anybody, they wouldn't know. This is an interesting piece of information. That there was extra gold. And what did they do with that extra gold? They went back and they put it into the Aron. Now the truth is, who said it was extra gold? Maybe it was extra kesef and achayshes. The gold was daiva hoyser? Everything was daiva hoyser. And for some reason the tziv is learning that the daiva hoyser was on the gold. And then they went and took that gold and put it back into the Aron. And that's a lesson that it begins with wood. Poor. And eventually when you learn the Torah and keep it from poverty, like the Mishnah says in Avos, you'll keep it when you are rich. There's another pshat that the Matnas Kahuna on the side of the Medrash, and the Chasam Sofer learns the same way, that the Medrash means Mishkan Leidus, that from the extra money they should make a Mishkan Leidus. What does that mean? That they should make a base Medrash in the Mishkan. With the extra money, they were supposed to make another yeshiva-like in the Mishkan. Yeah? Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and says, there's extra money. So the Rebbeinu Shlom says, extra money? Make a Mishkan Leidus, which means a Beis Medrash. So learns Matnas Kahuna, Chasam Sofer, and others. So again, Rabbeinu, what happened with the extra money? The Pasuk says it was Daiva Hoyser. So was it Dai or was it Hoyser? Which one was it? Was it enough or was it extra? So we can explain the Daiva Hoyser. Chazal tell us that Moshe didn't know what to do with this. So the Ramban says it was so little that we don't even have to discuss what was done with it. It's a chiddush. So the Daiva Hoyser was just small. Okay. The Medrash seems to say that the Rebbe Yishev told him what to do with it, and that is, go build a Mishkan Leidus. What does Mishkan Leidus mean? So the Netziv says it means take the gold and put it back into the Aron. Now you have extra gold, put more gold into the original Aron that Moshe Rabbeinu made from Eitz. And it's a lesson that it's Tchilasi Oini V'Seifer Oisher. Huh? What's 12 o'clock?
Yeah.
So, huh?
12.
What's 12 o'clock?
Purim.
Purim? So go. If you learn that it's Mishkan, which means Beis Medrash, like the Chasam Sofer and the Torah Kainim, and the Matnas Kahuna, so it's a very big chiddush on many levels. First of all, the actual understanding of it. If they needed a Beis Medrash, so they should have made it l'chatchila. I mean, if that's what's necessary in the Mishkan, so just make one. What do you have to wait for the extra money? And if it's not needed to have a Mishkan, I mean, what should you make it for? And besides that, originally, where Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Torah somewhere, so he must have had a yeshiva somewhere. So whatever that yeshiva is, let it continue. I mean, why in the Mishkan do you need over these put a base medrash? Where did that come from? What's the idea behind it? Second of all, halachically, it's a big shaila. How is it possible, I believe there's some sefer asks this, how is it possible that you gave money to the mikdash, so it's kedusha chamura, it's the mikdash, mishkan, and then when you don't need it for the mishkan, could I go give it for kedusha kala to give it to something which is less? This base medrash is not mishkan, it's mikdash mat. So how could I use the money that was given for this level of kedusha for something which is much less? It's a hayrado mi kedusha chamura to kedusha kala. I think the answer is very simple. The Mishkan is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells. That's good when we had a Mishkan. There'll be a time and a place where we won't have a Mishkan. We won't have a Mikdash. So what becomes the compensation? What's when you, let's say, for example, there's a lien on your house, so you have to go move somewhere, right? The home doesn't become batel. The marriage isn't over. The marriage exists. The family exists. But now they have to move into what? To a different home. So what happens when the Mishkan becomes batel? And the answer is that's when the Mikdash Ma'at takes over. And that was meant originally in the Binyan HaMishkan. Rabbi Shalom is saying like this. You built a Mishkan. You have extra money. And we'll soon explain why it was necessary from that it should be built with the extra money. But the point right now is that the Mishkan is not separate with the Mikdash. And Ke'ilu, when I donate to the Mishkan, it's like taking the money and bringing it down a few levels of Kedusha to give it to the Beis HaMedrash. It's the opposite. It's one entity. There's a Mishkan. You know, a lot of people need a mashalim to give, to understand. I'll give you a mashal. Sometimes in a big shul, you have a big Beis Medrash that they only use on Shabbos. And then when they don't use that Beis Medrash or it's under construction, what do? They have a small Beis Medrash on the side. The Mishkan is the big Beis Medrash. But there's going to be a time and a place where you can't use it. So in the building, so to speak, of the Mishkan, it was set into play. It becomes nikva that there's another Mishkan. That's the Mikdash Ma'at, the Beis HaMedrash. So when they donated to the Mishkan, it came with it a budget for the Mikdash Ma'at, the Beis HaMedrash, that will eventually take the place of the Mishkan. Now, where did they get this budget money? From the extra that they brought. Why? Because when you give extra, that's a tremendous ratzon. I give with will. You give as much as you need. Someone who gives more, like Avraham Avinu by the Akedah, I want to do more, because you love. Keep that for a rainy day, so to speak. When there won't be a Mishkan, the Rebbe Yishon takes out that ratzon that they gave for the Mishkan, extra, and says, now you have a Beis Medrash in Galus. That extra, that's Pshat Dai V'Hoyser. It was two different things. For the Mishkan, it was Dai. But they still wanted to bring more. So that's a new thing. That Hoyser is for the budget of the Beis HaMikdash Ma'at, the Beis Medrash. Which means Rabbi Yishon preserves that Ratzon, that will to give. That the Divus Halev and says, you know something, it doesn't go to waste. It's all so important to me. And it might have been very little, like the Ramban says. That's why we didn't tell us how much it is. Ramban says we don't know how much it is. It might have been little, but it was enough for the Rebbe Yishon to say, you know, that's important to me. That extra will, that extra Divus Halev, I'm going to take that and I'm going to preserve it. I'm going to put it away in an oitzer. What do you call oitzer? A treasure chest.
What's that treasure?
For when you will need it in Galus, where you won't have a Mishkan, I'll give you the Beis Medrash as part of the Mishkan. This is my own thought. I saw Friday in the Chedushi Harim some of this concept as well. I see that he also talks along these lines, that the hoiser is the ratzon to give, and that never disintegrates. That dissipates. It doesn't go away. It always remains, to the point that it went into the Beis Medrash, which we have today. Same idea, more or less. Maybe one word more, one word less. So you see that in the Mikdash, it was all about will. Will never gets destroyed. You know, the Mishkan never got destroyed. The Mishkan went nignas, went straight into the ground. The Gemara in Saita says, Moshe Rabbeinu and David both made Mishkan. Never got it. Shlomo made a base of Mishkan that got destroyed. The Oivim, the enemies, got to it. What's the difference? So there's a Sipurna that says, the amount of the Divus Halev in the Mishkan was much more than it was in the Mikdash. they came and they did and they worked on themselves by themselves. Everybody was busy with it. That will can never get destroyed. That Ratzon could never get lost. That Mishkan, that Medivos, Kol Mediv Lev, could never evaporate. It has no, it can't be mushka, it can't get destroyed. So may the Mishkan, and like I explained to you this Yisoid, Mishkan represents an external value, an evaluation of how much Nedivos HaLev there was. You want to measure the Nedivos HaLev, it's measured in the Mishkan. Physical, but measured of the Nedivos HaLev. And because there was so much Nedivos HaLev, says the Sipurna, I believe that's the understanding of the Sipurna, that there was so much Nedivos HaLev, that's why it can't get destroyed. Can't get destroyed. It's impossible. Because Ratzon stays forever. Like the match. You can't. It's unbelievable to extinguish fire. It doesn't happen. This Rabbosai, I think we could use to understand Shkalim and its relevance to Purim. Purim is around the corner. We read Shkalim. Shkalim has to do with Adar. It has to do with Shikle Moshe. Chazal tell us that Shikle Moshe was the anecdote against Shikle Haman. The Gemara says, if not for the Shikle Moshe, Shikle Haman would have killed us out. Would have destroyed us. Would have been Matzliach. So Shikle Moshe becomes the anecdote, the refuah before the Makkah. What does Shikle Moshe have to do with Shikle Haman? So simply shekel, shekel. Maybe Bekel HaGolgolus, Haman was paying per head to kill them. So here we're counting per head, and we gave to the Beis HaMikdash. I hear that externally, there's a good connection between Shkalim and Shkalim. I think it's a lot deeper, Rabbosai. I think the significance of the Shkalim of the Beis HaMikdash, the Shkalim that were taken to build the Adonim, is a lot deeper a connection to Shikle Haman. And I'll explain. You know, the Gemara tells us that when Haman sees Mordechai, and he reaches Mordechai to take him on the horse, Mordechai is learning the halachas of a certain sugya. And when Haman sees this, he becomes completely confused, frightened. What was he learning? So the Gemara Megillah tells us he was learning the halachas of Karban Mincha and the kmitza of the Karban Mincha. Kmitza. A Karban Mincha is made from flour. And there's halacha of how do you make kmitza? Which means you take with your finger from the flour and you put it as a carbon on the mizbeach. He sees this hum and he becomes completely out of bent, out of shape. Oh, that's it, he's in trouble. What was so frightening about the mincha kmitza that sent him over the cliff, as they say? What did he see in it? I mean, what is it about Karban Mincha that frightens Haman? No one else is interested. We find that the Chazal tell us when he comes to Mordechai, Mordechai is actually learning with the children. You know what Gemara's the sugyas they were learning? The Gemara tells us they were learning about Karban Aimer. Karban Aimer. Mincha, Aimer, Karbanis, he's learning with the children. Tell me, why would you be learning with children Karban Aimer? You know, usually when you have children, yeah, you teach them about stories, Shabbos, Bar Mitzvah maybe, Shnayim Sheikh Zimitalis, Eilu Mitzvah. I never saw a kid learning Kmitza. Aimer, Karban, you know, don't forget, when you want to make a pirche, right? If you want to make pirche, and you got up and you spoke about Karban Aimer and Kmitza, you wouldn't have one person sitting over there. Which kid would sit and listen to all that? That's not a pelvic thing. From all the things you want to learn with a child, you want to learn with him in Kmitz and Karbon Eimer, what happened? You know what I think Pshat is not based on? I'll tell you Pshat. Be'ez Hashem Yisborach, Be'ez Hashem Yisborach. What was the main taina, tviya, chet, so to speak, of the Bnei Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, in the time of Achashverosh? So the Gemara tells us that the Tanoim had different pshatim, they all said different reasons, but the main reason which seems to come across as the accepted famous reason, Shenehenu Misudas Achashverosh. They had Hano, from the Suda Achashverosh. Notice it doesn't say that they went, that the problem and complaint against them was that they went, but that they were Nehenu. Nehenu means that they enjoyed it. The taina, the complaint against the Bnei Yisrael, Shenehenu Misudas Achashverosh. Why? I believe the pshat is as follows. They went, they had a lot of reasons to go. Malchus. A person has to be good with the kingdom. Shloi Malchus. You always have to be together, Vashtes, and send, you know, every time they make a gathering, we always send representatives. We're with you, and we respect you, and we appreciate that we're part of your country. La'olam yispal adam b'shloim shel malchus. That's to go. But what do you have to enjoy it for? So what are you going to say? Well, you have to work on yourself. Go there and not enjoy it. Go there and not enjoy it. So you have to be a Baal Musar and sit there with the Mesil Shisharim. I'm going, L'Shem Shemayim, but I'm not going to be Havano. No, Rabbi, so you missed the boat on this whole Gemara. The complaint was that there really should have been no way that you should have had Hano from such a Suda. Why? You know what the banquet of Achashverosh represented? That the Beis HaMikdash will not be rebuilt. The whole idea for making the Suda in the first place was celebrating that according to the years and the Cheshbon, it seems like the Beis HaMikdash is done and it'll never happen again. To the point that he takes out Bigdei Malchus, the Kalim Shainim, and we sing it according to Ashkenaz, they sing it like a Nusach of Eicha because it's supposed to mean the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. The Kalim Shainim. Why? Because it's really a cry. He was using the clay Hamikdash to show. his grandfather used the clay Hamikdash, and there was a hand on the wall that came out and told him, "You're done." Here he was secure, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. He took the clay Hamikdash to show no more base Hamikdash. It's done. The hopes and dreams of Klal Yisrael to rebuild, it's over. So how could you have Hano from such a Suda? Bishlam, you have to go. Okay, I hear. But to go and enjoy? They say over the Maril Diskin. He lived two blocks away from the Kaisel, you know that? Maril Diskin lived two blocks away from the Kaisel. He never went to the Kaisel. He couldn't take it. He couldn't take to go to Kaisel to see the Churban HaMikdash. Couldn't see it. The doctors told him that his heart can't take it, he shouldn't go. So how could you have Eden, Yiddish Kinder, sitting at a Suda, a banquet, that's supposed to celebrate Noma Beis HaMikdash, and have Hanah from it, and enjoy it? That was the complaint, Shenehenu Misuda Sachashverosh. How do you fix that? Mordechai knew there's one way to fix it. Chazal tell us that if you learn Hilchas Kachim, it's Ke'ilu Yamakir of a carbon. Notice every time we say the Karbanis, Yiratzen Ke'ilu Yikrafti. So there's two ways to learn that. One way we can learn it, because when by you saying it, it's as if you did it, because now that we don't have the carbon, at least you're saying it. But I say there's another way, right? That the Rebbein Shem is mashlim the society. Whatever you speak with your lips is as if you is a makrif. There's another way to understand it. Yehi Ratzon, I wish. the fact that I wish I could do it, Rabbi Yisrael says that itself is if like he did it. Because you want so much to be makiv a carbon, it's a zilu, kilu crafty. He wrote, and I asked Hashem, it should be like I was makiv the carbon. So either because I said it's like, or because I want so much, and that's why I'm saying it. Why am I saying it? Because I don't have it and I miss it. That itself is kilu crafty. Why? Because like I explained to you, in the Beis HaMikdash, everything is based on what? Adam ki yakim mikem, this week's parasha. It's about you. It's not about the carbon. It's about how much your makir from you, how much ratzoin, lertzoinchem, tizbechu. It's ratzoin. It's all about how much do you want. That's everything the Beis HaMikdash is measured in that value. So by wanting the carbon, is ke'ilu he crafted the carbon. He comes along, Mordechai, and he says, Rabboisai, we have to learn karbonis. Because if we learn karbonis, we're showing that we do want the Beis HaMikdash. The chet was, shenehenu misudas achashverish, that they showed they didn't care that there was no Beis HaMikdash. And because that Haman comes. And the answer is, the anecdote is, to learn the carbon. Now, which carbon, Rabbi Yisai? Carbon mincha. What is a carbon mincha? The Gemara in Kuf Yud HaMenachas tells us the Rabbi Yisrael likes the carbon mincha more than the regular carbon. Why? Because it's the ani. It's what the ani brings. And since there's more ratzon by the ani than the asher, so the idea of showing I want comes across more where? By the mincha. Right? Because was the carbon mincha. So he learns with the children carbon mincha. Which part? The kaimitz. You know how much you give of a mincha? How much do you give of a mincha ready? A drop. The kaimitz of the mincha is a small amount of mincha. And yet to the Rabbeinu Shloim, the Gemara tells us, is l'rotzoin. It's very special, that kaimitz. Because you want it. So we're showing the Rabbi Nishloel what we want. And that's when Haman goes, now I'm in trouble. I thought, yesh na mechad mefuzim mefoyrud bagoyim. And I gave shkolim. What was shkolim? Ali de oisam lach. You notice the lashon of the shkolim is? He gives, well, who are the oisam lach that he gives the shkolim to? So it means that the people take care of the oitzer, of the monies of the king. So why is it called oisam alach? It's an interesting lashon. Eshkoil al yidei oisam alach. And the truth is, it's a parody. It's very much in the same lashon of the mishkolim, the Beis HaMikdash. They gave the shkolim to the oisam alach. Look at parsha shkolim in the Haftorah. They gave it to the oisam alach. Which means he's coming to say, they give shkolim. Now what are shkolim? I explained to you, shkolim is the ratzayin to build a Beis HaMikdash. That's what the shkolim are so important. Why is it so chashiv? It's a penny. It's a matzah shekel. And the answer is shalesh, because it represents how much ratzayin. That's pshat bedek habayis. I explained to you that the reason why they have to constantly fix the Beis HaMikdash, because the Rabbi Yisrael wants to see how much they care about the Mikdash and the Mishkan. The shkolim represents that. Oh, the shkolim represents, so I'll give shkolim because they don't care. They don't care about the Mikdash. So if not for the shkolim of Klal Yisrael, which they show they really do care about the Mishkan. If not for the shkolim that they really do care about the Mishkan, then Haman's decree could have had effect. Because the decree was based on the fact that they showed they didn't care about the Mishkan. They showed that they didn't care about the Mikdash. They went ahead of Misudas Achashverish. And that's why he's learning with them Karban. There's a Mayridig Chavetz Chaim, Rabbi say in Torah Or. Chavetz Chaim in his Kol Kisvei Chavetz Chaim has a Kuntras Torah Or. And there he says, one of the skulois, one of the things that a person should do that will bring forth the Geula and the Binyan HaMikdash is to learn Kachin. Chavetz Chaim was a big advocate. You have to learn Kachim. And the learning of Kachim will bring Mashiach. Because it will bring the Binyan HaMikdash. And he compares it with a beautiful mashal that anyone who looks and listens to this mashal, anyone who sees the mashal and hears it, it touches a chord in the heart of the Yid. It's a beautiful mashal. You can have a dry eye when you see a mashal. It's a beautiful mashal. He says, you have a kala under the chuppah. She's dressed with her gown and her jewelry and her makeup, and she's all in Yiddish up and faputzt. All ready for the chasen to come. And he's late. You know why he's late? Because he had a flat tire, something happened. You know what the chasen thinks to himself? The kal is waiting in her gown, so to speak. She's all ready. She's waiting on the chuppah. I gotta get faster. I gotta come quicker. Learning kachim, he says. It's like the kal is paired with the gown under the chuppah, waiting for the chassan to come. And the chassan knows that she's waiting for him. Mikushat. Mikushat means all dressed up, ready. So he knows he's gotta come quicker. Azaz up the chuppah tzchayim in Torah art. Mordechai knew this. Mordechai knew that the way to undo what happened in the Achashverosh Suda is to learn Kachim with the children. Is to learn Kachim with Tinaikis or Beis Rabbim. And Haman sees this and he becomes completely taken back from it. And that's the Shkolim. The Shkolim of Moshe, because the Shkolim, like I explained to you, represents I want. And I think we could add, when we read Shkolim, like I told you, when we say Karbonis, what are we actually saying? A, that we don't have, and therefore we want Ke'ilu, right? If you speak it out, it's as if, what's the love? I've got the words in the Chazal. Mishamu Parm Sveseinu, that our words, right? I couldn't get the right words. Mishamu Parm Sveseinu. But I tell you, it's even more. When we read it, what are we saying? That we miss it. And by missing it, we're saying we actually do have it. I saw this point in the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer says, which Shkolim is he referring to? Shikli Moshe. Shikli Moshe wasn't in the times of Moshe, of Haman. There was no Beis HaMikdash. They weren't taking Shkolim. So he says, Pasha means that the Shkolim that they gave in the times of Moshe. Chayr, right? No. The fact that they read Pasha Shkolim, he says. That's Pshat. The Hekdim of Shkolim is not the giving of the Shkolim. Because they didn't give Shkolim. The Hegdim, the fact that Klal Yisrael reads Parsha Shkolim. Says Chassam Sofer, what are we saying by reading Parsha Shkolim? Halavai, we'd be able to give those Shkolim. That's Ke'ilu, you gave the Shkolim. That was Matzalos. And that's exactly what I'm trying to bring out. Everything in the Beis HaMikdash. And here we have a Chiddush. I'm not even giving it. There's no Beis HaMikdash. But it's as if I gave it, because it's all valued according to how much I want to give. That's what it's all about. How much do I really want? So it's possible to not give, and because I wanted to give. But Lamaisa, they don't have mikdash. You gave. And that was matzalos in the time of Mordechai. What do we learn from this? The Mordechai Yisrael. Ratzin. Beis HaMikdash. Hashras Hashchina, it's all about how much Ratzin you have, how much you really want. And the Rebbeinu is going to test us every day, constant testing, like Bedek HaBayis. It's not a one-time thing, I want it. I have to constantly want. You know, I was just thinking, the Egel was Metukin in the Mishkan, right? You know, the Egel was an interesting thing. They wanted actually Nasa V'Nishma originally, but it didn't last long. The Nasa V'Nishma fell away very quickly. You needed constant Nasa V'Nishma. It had to last the Nasa V'Nishma. The Mishkan also. It's very exciting. Oh, I'm going to build a Mishkan, but it has to last. So constantly we're tested. Do you really want your own? You know, in Hanukkah they took away the Avodas Beis HaMikdash, Butl HaTamid. The Bach says, why was it Butl HaTamid? Because they were Nisrashel in the Karban. They were Nisrashel in the Avodah. The minute you're nisrashel b'avoida, you see, you don't want, you're not doing a bit of divas halev, I take it away. It's mashkin. I take it away. It has to be that you want. The Chashmonaim came and showed they wanted. They were Maisa Nefesh, and the Rabbi Hashem gave it back. It's all about how much you want, how much you want, how much you want. That's Hashras Hashchina, and that's Mishkan, and that's the Yesod of the Shkalim, Pasha Shkalim, and the giving of Shkalim. How much, it's all valued in the Ratzon of how much you want.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.